is happening, y'all. And thanks so much again for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And as always, the man, now this time he didn't bring fizzy water, just straight smart water. But I'm going to tell y'all, it doesn't work. Kyle Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yeah, I've been slamming these smart waters for a couple weeks now, and I haven't noticed any difference at all.
I can tell. It's not really helping for you.
Yeah. I do like the flavor.
The bulb though is no brighter, sir.
What does it say here? Vapor distilled water.
Word.
And electrolytes for taste. Purely balanced pH. Listen, smart water, if you want to sponsor the show, holla at your boy, because I like this stuff. It's very good. I'm a big fan of water. I know,
well, that's a good thing to be a fan of, yeah, man. Yeah, I mean, Jesus, I like breathing. I'm a big fan of like this. Listen,
I like oxygen.
I love O2, baby.
I like fizzy water better than straight water, though. I won't lie. See, when I grew up in the country, and we had our own water well out
you
there.
You had well water.
And man, it wasn't right? It wasn't the best. Like, you didn't know till you grew up and moved on. You're like, man.
We had to put like the shower heads and lime away. Remember, you had to make sure you got all the scaling off of them. Y'all remember all that stuff?
Yeah, was
back in the party line days.
Out in the CLR or whatever that chemical was.
Yeah.
But my grandfather, who was no longer with us, he would flip out if he knew how big bottled water is.
Oh,
I mean, just like the price. I mean, it's more expensive than gasoline.
First of all, your grandfather would flip out, period.
Yeah. Well, I'm speaking of flipping out. If one more person emails me or sends me the trailer to this Cocaine Bear movie, I'm going to snap. I was trying to tell you this before we turned the mics on. You're not aware of this.
No.
So apparently there's a movie. It's the last movie that Ray Liotta ever filmed. I don't know what part he plays in. I'm sure it's small, but he's in this movie. It hasn't come out yet. It's based on a true story. Now, when movies come out and they say based on a true story, that might mean the entire movie is pretty factual, or it might mean one scene.
And it might mean one guy in the movie. I think I have heard this story.
Well, yeah, it really happened.
Yeah.
So apparently like there's like some drug smuggling going on.
No, you don't say.
And the bear ends up eating a couple keys of yayo and then just goes insane. So I hope it's a good movie, but honestly, when you
I don't care. I'm watching it anyway.
It looks like it's probably not going to be that good. Oh, I'm sure I'll watch it. My wife will watch it. She watches every stupid horror movie that comes on.
Cocaine Bear.
Anything with a murderer in it, anything with horror, she's all about it.
If there's death in it, she needs to see it.
Why are so many women attracted to like documentaries on serial killers?
Because they're just, they want to kill us. Look at us. We're annoying.
Yeah, but why do they like serial killers? Is it the fear of like they like being scared? I don't know. But every woman I know is loves murders.
What I think is women watch all that so they learn how to dispose of bodies and the proper way to get rid of the people that annoy them.
Well, that's why you should raise pigs, right?
That's why, because my wife doesn't watch any of that stuff, so I make sure of it.
Yeah, I don't like watching
it. I threaten her. Don't you watch it. No, I don't threaten her. Are you kidding? She's not here, is she? She doesn't listen to the show so I can talk tough. That's what the whole thing is.
What have you been up to?
Man, oh man.
Have you started your Christmas shopping yet?
Yes. And I've almost done. I'm almost finished with every bit of it. I've got just like a couple of more things I need to grab and then I'll be finished with it. So I got that knocked out, which I went pretty minimal this year.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't dumping a lot of money into those that I love. But the things I got is what like I know for a fact that it's going to make an impact, right? Like these things, I'm like, this is what you get. This is going to shake it down. So yeah, I've about got all that stuff done. Almost had to have, I've broken a tooth, folks. And like I've complained about it. Man, it's bad. It's real bad. It's bad right now. So I had to go get that taken care of. Well, guess what? They can't do it in office. I have to go to an oral surgeon because I have a very small jaw, apparently, which you can't tell by all the fat on my face and the pictures and this beard. But anyway, yeah, I'm going to have to go through all that. Well, get a load of this, man. February.
That's the soonest?
Yep.
So what, man, what are you going to do till then?
I'm just going to hurt.
Man.
Yeah, so that's how that goes. So that's how it's been rocking. So unless something crazy happens, that'll be that. But it's not terrible. It's just one of those things. So we'll see how it goes from here. What about you, man? I know you've been busy.
I've been busy with work. But outside of that, just trying to get ready. I've got almost all my Christmas shopping done.
Nice.
I don't know about my wife. See, I am a really hard person to buy for. Because I am very particular. Whether it's the shirt I'm wearing, the type of like thing to put on the bow. Like I'm very... very, you can't like kind of get what I want. I won't like it. I won't wear it.
Uh-huh.
It has to be exact. So my wife has always complained that I'm very difficult. But I always tell her, look, I make a list. It's real easy. Just choose from the
list. Don't stray from the list.
Don't stray from the list. don't show it. I don't care. Like, she's always worried that if I make a list, she's going to know, then I'm going to know what I'm getting is what's on the list. Cause my list is real short, like three things.
That's my same thing.
Isn't it better though? Just get me three things I want.
Yeah.
Keep it uncomplicated. As far as the oral surgeon goes, before we move on.
Yeah.
Make sure you go to a reputable guy. The older I get, I've noticed, like, you ever know those people, and my grandfather was this way. No matter what, you're getting new tires, you're getting something. They always know a guy that can get you a deal. Oh, I know a guy. Go see my guy.
Yeah.
And you'll get a deal. He'll get you a deal. And then it turns out later, months later, it's never a deal. So avoid any deals. Anytime somebody goes, I know a guy's got a deal, I'm not going there.
Well, the guy that I went and talked to was in the back of an old shipping container.
Yeah, see, right? I wouldn't do that.
It's like in a parking lot of an abandoned mall.
Oh, yeah, I can move that tooth for you, $20.
Yeah, that's no what problem. He said. It was going to be like $35 and a couple of pair of clean socks and everything was cool.
Yeah, just avoid all deals. Just pay the full price, get it done right, right? Buy night, buy once.
Cry once. That's how it rocks. That's how the whole thing. Dude, I got to ask you something.
Sure.
Well, I don't have to ask you. I've got to tell you. I've got to lay this on you. Talk about madness of crazy things being found. I don't know if you've seen this. This started back in November. People finding some straight crazy things that they hadn't seen.
Okay.
What I mean by that is they had put it away. They had found just recently the remains of like a 35 million year old fossil of eyeless army ants that was all over Europe.
Eyeless.
They were eyeless, okay?
Yeah, they talk to each other, though, through antennae and...
Smell.
Chemicals.
I think it's, it's chemical scent and all that. Well, it had been in a drawer in the museum, okay? Hundreds of drawers of these insect fossils is what where they had been in Harvard's University Museum of Comparative Zoology. It's been lost in the museum, in one of those drawers, for nearly 100 years, and they found it again.
Yeah, I mean, it's just
because
ants.
It's so much stuff. Exactly. Okay. So not too crazy, but still pretty interesting, right?
No, I'm joking.
Yeah.
Ants are very important, right? I mean, they clean up everything.
Well, then about 2 weeks after that, all right, they found something else. And when I say they, somebody different found it. There's a fossil specimen of an ancestor of present-day lizards was found. It had been first found in the 1950s, and then it was put up in the Natural History Museum in London. They just now found it again.
It's a lizard or a dinosaur?
It's a lizard. It's like some kind of fossil remains. Here you go. I'll show it to you. This thing right here.
Looks like a Gila monster.
Yeah. Some crazy a Gila monster. I hate you so very much. But this is another one of those crazy specimens. Now, this thing has been back from like 200 million years. Okay?
Okay.
But again... It was lost in the museum. I tell you all of this because on Popular Science, I don't know if you've noticed this, but a few weeks ago, the last Tasmanian tiger's remains were finally found in a cupboard.
Really?
This thing goes back to 1936, okay? This is where the mystery, it says, started. They had recently found all this stuff. What I told y'all, turns out here, they found this in a museum cupboard of the Tasmanian Museum and Art Gallery in Hobart, Tasmania. The long-lost remains of the last known Tasmanian tiger, or the thylacine. It had been missing for over 85 years.
That's cool.
Robert Paddle is the Australian Catholic University psychologist here, all right? Comparative psychologist, one of the researchers. He said, for years, many museum curators and researchers searched for its remains without success, as no thylacine material dating from 1936 had ever been recorded. It was assumed its body had been discarded. That's what they had all thought had happened to it. And I think you and I had even talked to him about it. And I think when we had Woz and them on, right?
Warren Dara.
Yeah. I think when we had them on, the Thylacine Research Unit, true. And they were on the television series with Josh Gates. They did all that stuff with them. I think we'd even talked about that they hadn't had the remains or they couldn't find the remains of it. And so now it's back. So now they have it. So this, they might be end up, I can't say like, oh, you know, it's not going to help solve anything.
Right.
But it may easily lead to them wanting to bring it back or do something because now they may have viable DNA to work with.
I still think it'd be cool if they brought it back. Like, not everything, but a thylacine? That'd be awesome.
I still think they're there.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I do, too.
I still think it's there.
Let's get into some stories. Check this out. A listener sent this in. It says, I grew up near Niobrara, Nebraska, not far from the river. Now, I'm sorry if I butchered the pronunciation of that. I don't know how you say that, but that's my attempt. Don't waste your time emailing me on how to pronounce it correctly because you're just wasting your time and mine. But anyways, moving on. My brother and I were able to do a lot back then. We were outside all of the time. We really enjoyed fishing in the nearby river for catfish. It was the 1950s, and things were very different. No one cared much for what you did, just so you didn't cause any trouble. We usually fished in the morning and evening during the summer. It was June 1959. We planned to hike to an area on Medicine Creek and spend a few nights there. It was about 5 miles from our home. The second night we were there, we heard some strange screaming sounds coming from one of the bluffs west of us. It wasn't like anything else we've ever heard of before. We also heard something heavy moving through the brush and the trees. I'll admit it, we were scared. As the night went on, things eventually quieted down. The next morning, I walked towards the bluff while gathering firewood. As I approached a rocky pass, I caught a glimpse of something big and hairy running away from me. It wasn't a bear, and it stood at least 7 foot high. It was huge, with a wide back. That was enough for me. I was ready to move camp someplace else. My brother and I packed up and started back toward the old trail. I guess we had walked about a mile, then stopped to fish at a good spot we knew. We spent most of the day there. Late afternoon, we decided to hike back home. I wasn't feeling well anyways. The area was much different than today. It was part of a state park with lots of roads and camp areas. Back then, it was much more rugged. It was around 6 p.m. and we were close to the footbridge at the river. My brother suddenly stopped walking and pointed at a clearing at the riverbank. He said something was over there. We stood there for a minute. Then this huge, hairy creature stood straight up and looked right at us. It let out a strange grunt, swinging its arm up over its head. But we started running. I don't think we stopped until we got near the roadway at the end of the trail. Over the years, we talked about our run-in with the creature, and we're both convinced that it was Bigfoot. I only told a friend about it a few years later, but he thought I was lying to him. We've never been back to the same area, and we've never seen anything since then. I contacted the BFRO in the late 1990s, but they never came out to take a statement. That's my story. You can contact me if you have any questions. Thanks for what you do. Gary T. Well, Gary, sounds like you and your brother had a Sasquatch encounter back in the late 50s.
Sounds exactly like it.
I mean, what else could it be? I don't think there's any bears in Nebraska, is there? I mean, I guess it's possible somebody had a pet bear, could have gotten out. But he said it didn't look like a bear. It looked like, you know, your stereotypical Bigfoot. 7 foot tall.
Mm-hmm.
It was loud, you know, grunting and waving its arms around. And they could hear it at night trouncing around. So it sounds like
doesn't sound like a bear.
No, no.
Doesn't sound bearish to me. Sounds Bigfootish.
It's kind of disappointing that he contacted the BFRO and they didn't really come out to take a statement or anything.
Probably because it was Nebraska, right? They kind of tried to, like you said, maybe that's why they blew it off.
I don't know. When you go to their website, they have stories from every state on there. You can go through
there
state by state and look up stories, because I've done that just to see, you know, is there anything around where I'm living or where I'm hunting?
Turns out, yes. Yeah. It's one of those things that you don't want to look up.
Right.
Hey, when we were talking about some ancient history stuff the other day, I'd found some things and shown you these pictures of these crazy owl carvings, because I'd wondered, oh, maybe this is something that might be UFO related, right? Now, folks, when I'm talking about these owl carvings, I'm talking about these, they're slate engraved carvings or plaques shaped like owls.
Mm-hmm.
They're about 5,000 years old, and they're from the Iberian Peninsula between Spain and Portugal, right in that area, right? So they didn't know really what they were. And at first, when they found them, you don't really know, right? Then they started kind of drawing down to the idea that they think they were maybe toys, children's toys. It turns out that they think that it might have actually been wish lists, that these slates that they carved and all this not only are toys, but that they put these markings may mean something as kids, is what they want, let's say, as gifts.
Yeah, what kind of toys would kids back then want?
I don't know. Like, what could it be? Maybe a doll, a handmade doll. Maybe, you know, I have
slingshot.
Yeah, maybe an atlatl.
Atlatl.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Obsidian knife.
It says, get a load of this. About 4,000 engraved slate plaques resembling owls with two engraved circles for eyes and their body outlined, dating from the Copper Age between 5,500 and 4,750 years ago, have been found in tombs and pits across the Iberian Peninsula. Many believe that it had represented deities or for those of the dead. Now they believe it's child toys. Or wish lists like that. So the carvings may have been for the lost loved ones.
Mm.
But now they don't really go into in-depth. It sounds like they have found them in everybody, right? Like in like tombs of everyone's age. So it may have been something that the child placed in there with a loved one, or it may have been a child or a child that passed and the loved ones placed it in there with them.
I got you.
So it's a bunch. So they have found, basically brought it down to dolls, toys, or like amulets, things that would hang on a necklace and things. But these are all engraved in different sizes and whatnot, but they're the same basic thing.
That's cool.
Pretty wild.
I almost hit a big owl.
Ooh.
Like 2 nights ago, I was driving out by Poolville. And, man, I came within feet of hitting this thing. Big sucker.
Man, I'll tell you what, when we were in Colorado, when we were up there in Kansas and Colorado, I noticed that birds of prey are everywhere in that part of Colorado, man. Hawks on 2 foot centers.
Well, because like, I imagine if they mow those fields, they probably can see anything down there.
Yeah, but you think too, like, well, they can probably see them in the rows, the way those things are moving. But yeah, rabbits, rats, anything like that on the ground, you better be quick.
Yeah.
You better be fast.
Well, speaking of Kansas, check this out. This comes from a listener from Salina, Kansas, or Salina, Kansas. I apologize again about the pronunciation.
I think it's Salina.
We'll go with that. It said, this sighting took place in late August 2004, just after 6 a.m. Now, I always rode my mountain bike for exercise. This day was no different. About 30 seconds after turning onto the last section of residential streets on my route, someone ran into the street about 25 or 30 feet in front of me. The entity was in a full sprint, as if its life depended on it, like something was chasing it. It came from the yard on the east side of the street, crossed the street in full sprint, and entered the yard on the west side. The sighting only lasted for 5 seconds. This entity was bipedal and about 1 to 1.5 foot tall, wearing an earthly greenish-brown hooded cloak. The only features that were visible were the ankle and the feet, both clad in the same greenish-brown color. Once it entered the grass, its visibility disappeared as if the cloak color shifted to match the grass. My first thought was, I just saw a gnome. I just saw a Dwendy. Rational thinking told me that gnomes don't exist. I was confirmed, but I never told anyone about my sighting because I would just face harassment and ridicule. To this day, I've never told anyone about it, but I hear Cam and you talking about these sightings all the time on the show. So I think I saw a gnome or a Dwendy or whatever this thing was. It was a small human-like entity wearing green, and it was about 1.5 foot tall. That's all. That's my story. That's all I have. Thanks for what you do, Janet.
A fae. You've witnessed a fae.
While bike riding, out riding her bicycle, and all of a sudden a fae crossed the road. She said it was sprinting as if something was chasing it.
I will tell you this.
So was a house cat or something chasing
Maybe.
It? Or was it late for something and it has to get back
yes.
to the portal or it closes and then it can't go back to its world? I don't know.
I know that bike riders will attest to this, and you're riding out in the woods. You can ride up on animals because they don't hear you coming.
Yeah, that's why lots of hunters
like crazy.
Will ride bicycles.
Yeah. I could only imagine that's the best way to sneak up on Bigfoot or the Fae is go mountain biking.
Which you need, because you just got a regular bicycle when you go hunting. You need one like Caleb's got that's electric powered. It's you don't just not pedal it. It's like pedal assist.
Ooh, I might need to get one of those.
And so as you're pedaling, you're also like recharging.
I know they make them for hunters because I've seen some really awesome ones, but they're really proud of those.
Yeah. No, the one he got is only like $300 or $400.
I need something.
He got it for his birthday. Like
I need
a year
to get
ago.
Him just to come drag animals for me.
Yeah. Well, he might.
That's what I need. Folks, let's take a quick break. When we get back from the break, I'm going to be jumping into some creepy Christmas-related stories all the way around. Get your Christmas spirits ready. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. okay, y'all, here we go with a little of the Christmas spirits. I didn't realize it's such a big deal. I talk to people all the time about this ghost story on Christmas Eve, or just telling ghost stories on Christmas, and everyone seems to know about it now but me. I'm like, I guess I've been in the dark. I had no idea. I didn't realize it was as popular as it is. That's a thing that people love to do. So given that, I went to doing a little digging around, right? I had to find some crazy, creepy Christmas stuff to talk about. And we've done it in the past where we have, you know, set aside shows where Kyle had talked about, I believe, the mushroom being related to the stories of Santa and all this, and some really wild stuff too, right? And just great all around stuff. So I wanted to share a little bit older, maybe a little bit more creepy. So I got to digging around. Luckily for me, I've got a good friend named Lon, and Lon helps me out from time to time. Lon's got this. Now, this came from Coast to Coast Radio all the way back in 2010. Now, this person calls in from Vallejo, California. Now, they didn't give their name. They were just, you know, started talking about all this. This is a wild thing that I like it on so many levels. Let's just put it that way. And I'm going to start off with it. I think y'all are going to really enjoy this. Says, when I was about 7 or 8, I heard somebody singing Christmas carols. It was Christmas Eve. He was singing Christmas carols rather badly, so I got up and looked out the window and down on the street. I looked down, and on the road was, of course, it's dark, and I knew it was paved and the cement wall was missing. Now I thought, that's strange. And then here comes this guy stumbling down the street in a Santa suit, stumbles up the hill like walking through where the rock wall was. He's stumbling along, and there's this old well that's still there to this day. And well, he falls down the well. And me, being 7 or 8 years old, I go, Santa fell down the well. And I start yelling it. So I run outside, down the stairs. I was in this two-story that was old, even when Vallejo was new. So I looked out, and the well was still built, just like it was the day before. The road is paved, and the rock wall is there. I go, maybe I was dreaming or something. I said, no, okay, that's all right. So I go back upstairs and I go to bed. And you know, about 4 o'clock in the morning on Christmas Day, I wake up and here's this thing floating over my bed. It's the guy in the Santa suit floating right above me, looking down. And he goes, your presents are here. And as a 7 or 8 year old kid, I say, presents? Well, that's great. And I turn over to go get my brother. I want to wake him up. I go, Santa said the presents are here. So I run downstairs and all the presents are there. And I go, the presents are here. And we wake up our parents and we're screaming and jumping up and down. And my dad comes out and he says, what are you kids doing? It's 4 o'clock in the morning. And I said, well, Santa said the presents are here. He looks down at the floor and there's 3 extra presents that he doesn't know where they came from. My dad tells me to open the one marked for me. So I do, and it's an old wooden handmade train. That's the story, folks. Part of a time slip, maybe? Looking out the window, hearing drunk Santa, I'm going to say drunk Santa stumbling down the street as the young fellow looks out. There's nothing, right? I don't see a thing. It's just Santa. There's no wall. There's no pavement. There's no anything. Falls in a well. And then the next day, the ghost of Santa appears and brings toys. I want to see the toy train. Bro, could you imagine? Oh, my goodness. That would be amazing, wouldn't it? To wake up and there's one extra that nobody knows where it came from. Nobody in the whole family knows where it come from. It's just there. Ooh, that would be great. Greatness. But yeah, some sort of time slip. And again, like I said, I didn't realize this was a thing. Get a load of this one here. This comes from New Orleans, down around the French Quarter. It says, a week before Christmas, a year after Katrina hit the Gulf, my boyfriend at the time, Bruce, and I flew from Oregon to Chicago to see my family and rent a car to drive down the Mississippi Valley and over to San Antonio to catch a flight back to Oregon. It was simply for the adventure of it. We arrived at our New Orleans destiny, the Hotel Villa Convento in the French Quarter, and we got there right at sundown, the evening before Christmas Eve. Now, we hadn't planned on staying but the one night, hoping to continue our drive on the day of Christmas Eve, but we were wrong. See, this hotel is old, and I immediately felt the history and the spirits walking around me, looking at me with smiles. You could feel that energy. So we checked in and went out on the town walking Bourbon Street. It was warm and the lights were all around, walking through the Christmas tree, basically, is what we were in. The people were few as far as tourists go. All 3 days, we were only among the locals because tourism had come to a halt with the buildings still marked with the big red X's and many of them abandoned or destroyed, but not in a quarter. See, as we walked back to our hotel down the center of the street, undoubtedly intoxicated, the people in the distance became floating black shapes within the multicolored lights. Soon, as we approached Royal Street, we were absolutely alone. The big white mansions all around us looking alike under these dim lights. For some reason, I took a right down a dark alley and Bruce tried to hold my hand. But then he claimed I pulled away and literally disappeared before his eyes. I only remember coming into the dim light and sitting down on the sidewalk with my back against one of the mansions. He came around the corner as if it were just moments later. He said, "My God, I've been looking for you for 2 hours. Where have you been?" I replied, "Sitting right here." He helped me up, and just the next couple buildings was the hotel sign hanging on the sidewalk, over the sidewalk. The hotel itself is a haunted place which is frequented by a ghost tour, and years ago it was a covenant, and then became a brothel, and now it's a hotel. Good versus evil, if you will. I went into the bathroom in our room, and there in the tub, with its claw feet, was a dime that was not there before. Someone had the decency to pay for their bath before they left while we were gone. I still have the dime. It's old and solid silver. I don't have it in front of me at present, but the date is circa early 1900s. The following day, Christmas Eve, we decided to stay. We were very hungover, but more than that, the city was pulling us in to stay. We were two of the few tourists, and this was a beautiful time to get the flavor of the quarter as it meant to be savored. We set out to find a place to eat and to see the sights. As we walked Bourbon Street, we saw the street cleaners had gone through washing away the previous night. The sky had an overcast, but it was warm and beautiful. A young black man in his 20s with his bicycle leaning against the pole stopped us at the corner before he crossed, and he said, "Hey, if you can answer this question, I'll give you $20. If you can't, you give me $20. We looked at each other and smiled. Bruce said, "All right." The guy says, "You can see my shoes are brand new. Can you get them off my feet and onto yours without touching them?" And just as we answered, a couple appeared next to us. The young man stopped, looked at them, and his face went gray at the jawline. We looked at them and figured they had walked up somehow with us being distracted. They were of an upper class. Both were in their late 60s, gray-white hair. The man dressed in a spotless black London fog-type raincoat that came to his knees with gray pants, pressed crisp. His shoes were black and shiny, and his hands were in his pockets. Now the woman had shoulder-length hair, wavy and fixed fresh at the shop. Wearing a long rain jacket, as well as nylons and black pumps with 2-inch heels. We only knew they were there behind us because she snapped, "Don't you dare give him your money." We turned and looked at her and him, and they were frowning. Their faces ashen, and both seemingly with powder on. She looked at the young man and said boldly, "It's because of people like you that this great city is given a bad name." So we all looked at him in unison. Well, he just jumped on his back and rode away. Well, we turned to them, and they were gone. There was no crowd they could have disappeared into. There was no building so close that they could have gone into with such a split moment. But where they were standing was empty. We looked at each other and smiled, and both of us shaking our heads says, "Whoa." We talked about that the rest of the day and never saw the fella on the bike again either. We watched the news that night from our room and found that New Orleans had the highest murder rate in the nation that day. We knew then that there was no logical explanation of why I was still alive and with my money and driver's license still in my pocket, not to mention untouched from vanishing the night before. Where did I go when I disappeared? How had so much time elapsed when, to me, it was mere moments? Who were these people that walked up the next day? Who was the young person on the bike? How did they all vanish so simply? We stayed a third night, Christmas Day. And on that night, we stayed in our room watching WGN's Bozo Christmas Special and eating pizza. I recorded the whole thing with my movie camera. Then, as we fell asleep, I decided to walk around the hotel. The courtyard was silent except for the rain. A large dove-like bird sat above our door. I walked over towards the door to the front desk to buy a t-shirt, and inside was a group of people. Well, I was filming the whole walk, knowing that there were spirits all around me. The group was a ghost tour, and I was asked to join while I was there at the hotel. I got to hear about where I was staying, and about the elevator, and about room 4 on the second story. It was beautiful, and by the time I got back to the front desk, I can assure you I was ready for the long, welcoming chat I had with the owner of the building, thanking her. Well, I bought my shirt, and I slept very well that night. Now, the following morning, the sun was up bright. We knew it was time to leave beautiful New Orleans. It was a moment in time that I will never forget. As we went to close the room door behind us, I watched Bruce head with his luggage through the door to the office to check out. I turned, swung the door gently back open, and looked in, and I said out loud, "Thank you for your gracious hospitality and for watching over us." Then I gently closed the door behind me, hearing it click and latch. And a big smile crossed my face. So there y'all go. A little time in New Orleans. How wild is that? Missing time there by the hotel. So when we went, I wondered that. With all the history in that area, right? I wondered if they could be... let's say this. Why haven't we seen or heard or documented more time slips, let's say, in New Orleans? It just feels like that would be the spot. That place has so much energy, so much history, so much everything. I mean, it shows in their food, right? Like, New Orleans food is ridiculous. The place is amazing for food. Anyway, you would think it would be that way with the spirits, with everything else going on. And I guess it very possibly could. We just, I mean, with all the ghost tours. But the documentation of the time slips, something about that. Again, right around this time. Something strange, I don't know. Get a load of this. This comes from several years ago out of the Philippines. This is my scary experience. Happened during my last year in high school. As a tradition during Christmas in our school, my teachers organized caroling to raise funds for some of the school activities. For those who don't know, we go house to house singing Christmas songs, and the homeowners will pay us money. There's no obligation, but they donate. So caroling session is normally done in the evenings. Now, to give you an idea of my location, we are in a rural place, in a countryside. The roads are not paved, there's no streetlights, houses are far from each other. There's rice fields and lots of them. At night, people are normally at home, so you can either hear the crickets or the dogs. So this one night of our caroling, about 12 of us in the group, one teacher and the rest are classmates. So we start up around 7 to 8 in the evening, since our meeting place is at my teacher's home. So we start caroling at nearby houses, and we're just walking to go from place to place. About 2 hours go by, and it's also getting late at night, and we reach this place with a particularly old, large tree just around the corner of a street. Now, I've heard a lot of ghost stories, especially by this white lady, before we arrived there. Now, we walked about 15 minutes where there's nothing but rice fields. We walked past this tree, and at this point, we're all very scared. But luckily, none of us felt anything weird. So we continued walking, but still have this eerie vibe. Now, I only saw 2 or 3 houses in the area with big lots of trees, and we stopped on the first house, and we start singing our Christmas songs. After a while, we saw one of our classmates crying for no reason. Some of them tried to calm her down, but she couldn't be stopped. She didn't say anything, just crying. And it's even getting louder. And moments later, she looked at me and told me not to look at the tree. And she points over there. Now, how are you not supposed to look? Look, she points. Don't look at that tree. Well, how am I not supposed to look at that now? She said that she saw a Capri with red eyes, smiling and looking at me. Capri, it says here, is a big man with hair all around its body like a monkey, and it lives in a tree. It usually smokes tobacco at night and smells like fish sauce. At this time, I felt super scared, almost fainted. I was also crying that time, and I didn't dare look at the tree, not even glance. My group decided that we should leave that place immediately, so we walked back and spent the rest of the night at our school, which is about an hour and a half walk. At the school, we all stayed in one room on the second floor, ordinary classroom, so each of us chose the most comfortable place to sleep. Surrounding this classroom are big trees. There are glass windows on one side of the wall. In the middle of my sleeping, I was awoke because my whole body and my chair was shaking, and it was shaking strongly. I know I was awake and it wasn't a dream. I didn't open my eyes because I was so scared. Now, this lasted for about 3 minutes. My whole body was numb from being tense. I tried to ignore it and finally fell back to sleep a little later. And I'm really not sure what happened that night. I have no explanation for what was in the tree, no explanation for the tears, and no explanation for the shaking. Ooh. Yeah, what is that about, y'all? First of all, like I said, you can't point to something and not expect somebody to turn and look. That's not cool. But also, what the heck? So there's like a little Bigfoot man in the trees. So it makes me wonder what kind of spirits are down there, right? You're walking around that whole area and they didn't see anything, but like, oof, whatever that is. Could that be Fae? Could that be something from the Fae realm? Let's not say it's, you know, Bigfoot or Bigfoot related, but could it be Fae realm? Because it has that kind of effect on people, right? It's living in the trees. Maybe this is a Philippine Fae, right? Maybe that's what this is. I've got you something else right here. It says you're going to like this. Now, this story, again, Lon fired this to me because this is an old one that he's had. And he's posted this up. This is a great. If y'all have any crazy stories, you can send them to us or send them to Lon. Send them to both. You send them to us, we're going to send them to Lon. I'm just telling you, you want some cool Christmas stories? He's got a bunch of this. But this comes from 1998. Okay? Back in the day. It says, hello. I have a disturbing Christmas-related story that took place in a remote small town located on Mount Desert Island, Maine. My name is George, and I have lived here all of my life. I hesitate to name the town since this story could carry unintended consequences for the residents. I know that the story's true because I was a witness to it. It started in early December 1960. I was 12 years old. Each week, my mother and I would walk to the local supply store in order to stock up on whatever we needed at the time. We didn't have the car because my father used it for work as a state employee. He was away from home for several days at a time. The walk wasn't too far, but it was a bit hard during the winter since we had heavy snow at times. The store was owned by a wiry old man named Big John Corno. Now, Big John was well known in the area, since he was a sort of legend after he had saved the life of a girl in the 1930s who'd been attacked by a wolf. He would show the scars on his arms from the confrontation to the local kids when they would come into the store with their parents. Big John was also a storyteller, and I mean some real whopper stories, especially when it pertained to his personal history. Well, on this particular day, I was admiring Big John's small Christmas tree with wooden ornaments that he claimed he carved himself. There were all sorts of animals, including bear and elephant, tigers, and all kinds. There must have been 50 or so wooden ornaments. As I stood in amazement of the detail in these carvings, well, Big John walked up to me and sat down in a rocking chair beside the wood stove. He lit his small black pipe, sat back, and rocked away while watching me examine this Christmas tree. Now, after a minute or so, John asked me if I believed in Santa. I was surprised by the question, but assured him that I no longer believed. John looked away, smiled, and said, "Well, that's good. I didn't want you to be disappointed this year." I was confused by his statement, and what did he mean? And a few days later, my mother asked me to walk to the store for a few items she needed. My aunt had stopped over for a visit, and my mother was busy with her, so I made the trip solo. This wasn't unusual since I was now old enough to do this on my own. When I reached the store, Big John was sitting in that rocking chair reading a magazine, and he looked up and asked if he could talk to me. Well, I sat down on the small chair on the other side of the wood stove, anticipating one of Big John's tall tales. But what he told me was more than I ever expected. Big John's demeanor started to change. Whatever he was going to tell me was probably more serious than one of his typical stories. He looked into my eyes and said, "Something unusual happened last Christmas Eve." He paused for a minute, then he continued. "I saw the dead body of Santa Claus. Well, I'm not sure what my facial expression was, but I can tell you what I was thinking. This old man was four quarters short of a dollar." Again, he said, "I really did see Santa's body." I'm thinking to myself, why is he telling me this? And then he starts explaining what happened. Last Christmas Eve, he was at home getting ready for the drive to his sister's house on Christmas Day. He then heard a huge crashing sound in the woods near the house. He looked out the bedroom window, but couldn't see anything. So he decided to investigate. The snow was very deep all around the property and into the woods. It was clear, cold night, and the moonlight was bright. Big John held a camp lantern in front of him as he made his way through the pine forest. Then he saw something lying in the snow. As he got closer, he noticed a man with a blood-stained white beard and hair, dressed in a tattered red-colored coat and pants. Big John knelt down to check the man's condition. It was obvious he was dead. In fact, the body was terribly mangled through there was little noticeable blood. Says the body looked as if it had been dead for days. Now, Big John explained that he reported finding the body to the authorities, who soon retrieved the remains. He said that the police told him that they wanted to keep the death quiet until they determined the identification of the deceased. He agreed not to mention this incident to anyone. Well, I asked Big John, "Why aren't you telling me?" And he smiled and said, "Because I have to tell somebody." He got up from his chair, walked behind the counter, and reached into the drawer. He walked back toward me and handed me a pair of wire frames without the lenses. "Take these. These belong to Santa." I placed the wire frames in my pocket and told Big John that I had to get going because it was getting late. I bought the items I came for and hurriedly left the store, my head buzzing all the way home. And for 2 days, I wondered why Big John decided to tell me this story. I eventually determined that this was just another one of Big John's ruses. I placed the wire frames in a shoebox and pushed it deep into the recesses of my messy old closet. On Christmas Eve, my mother came home after walking to the store. I was sitting at the table working on a new jigsaw puzzle, and I heard her asking someone on the telephone if they knew why Big John's store was closed. And by this time, my father was home, so he decided to drive to Big John's house to make sure he was okay. After an hour or so, my father returned and said that Big John wasn't home, but his car was in the driveway. He had also noticed smoke coming from the chimney, so the fireplace was still burning. So he decided to call the local sheriff and make an inquiry. After several days, no one had seen Big John. His relatives and friends were contacted, but no one had any information. The sheriff was finally convinced that something was wrong, so he entered the house. Nothing unusual was found. No clues as to Big John's whereabouts. The next logical place to look was the store. But here's where the story gets fuzzy. I had no knowledge of what the sheriff had found until my father told me years later. While searching the inside of the store, the sheriff and the deputy found a large mound of old rugs in the middle of the ground cellar floor. The deputy started to remove the rugs until he started to notice an unmistakable odor. Before he removed more rugs, the district coroner was called to the location. What they discovered was both unusual and confusing. There were skeletal remains of a human body with a tattered red coat and pants. Well, I'm sure my jaw noticeably dropped. I told my father the story Big John had told me, and eventually, I told this same story to the sheriff. I also retrieved the pair of wire frames and handed it over to the state police. Since that time, I have not heard or seen anything further concerning this incident. I suppose there are various scenarios that could be created from the story, but I just wished I knew what happened to Big John. There it is, folks. old Big John, right? So what is this? Is this an old wives' tale, right? Is this just something this person dreamed up? Is this something that's been going on? I don't know, right? What on earth could that be? I can't even imagine the whole thing. Like, where did he go? Did he kill this fella? Did he really not? It looked old. It looked tattered. Could it have just been an old drunk out there dressed like Santa? There's so many explanations, but none of them fit, right? Everything seems to be nefarious. Like, there's nothing good about this, right? Like, everything's bad. There's not like, oh, it's just a mistake, or oh, maybe he was helping this person out. No, it does not seem to be that. Well, folks, I hope y'all enjoyed those as much as I enjoyed telling them. Let's jump back on the quick backside of this break real quick, and let's pick Big Fizzy's brain about what he thinks about this weird, wild stuff on Christmas. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. A little Christmas spirit activity. There you go. Some very, very weird,
very
Christmas stories, right?
Yeah, I never heard of those before.
Big John got maybe Santa's corpse in his basement.
Yeah, that's wild. What?
That makes a heck of a movie.
Yeah,
you're really enjoy. And I have, I don't know. Have you seen Violent Night? Maybe that's what we need.
I have not.
I need to go check that out. The new David Harbour film.
I don't really watch horror movies. I like Bad Santa.
I'll have to show you the trailer. I think you're going to like Violent Night.
Is this the one with, what's the actor's name that plays the Santa Claus? That's going around like
David Harbour.
Going around beating people up. Yeah. It's like a vigilante Santa. Yeah.
What was the movie that used to have? Yeah, I knew you would. I knew you would. What was the movie where they were clips of it, like supposed to be a television show? Like it's like a television show in a movie. And the television show in the movie was the Fall Guy as the Santa Claus with machine guns and flamethrowers and all that. You remember that crazy thing?
Yeah, what was that?
Talk about breaking down the fourth wall, right? What was that?
Are you getting excited for the new Avatar? Because I know Luke is.
I would like to see it. I don't know that I'm excited for it. I just feel like maybe I hope it hasn't been too long.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Because I'm kind of like, meh.
So to prep Luke, they were replaying the original Avatar. So I took him about 3 weeks ago to see that.
Yeah. What do you think?
He liked it. So he's really pumped about the second one. And I think the way he's experiencing it, where that one, he just saw that one for the first time, and now he's going to get to see the second one. It's probably better than the way we're experiencing it. It's been like 12 years since it happened.
That's a good point. And then you watched Willow, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you dig it so far?
Yeah. It's good.
So far, I'm digging it, right? It's all right. Yeah, I did. But I like Warwick Davis. I like it in all the stuff. Everything he plays in, I dig him.
Yeah.
That he's cool.
I agree.
Look, I got a story for you.
Okay,
get a load. This comes from Minnesota. This is, it's called The Shadow Elf. It says, this took place when I was younger. When I was about 5 years old, my family and I went shopping. We were at a Kmart store when this happened. Christmas was close. I was sitting on the cart. My mom and dad went to search for something. I was looking around and I had this strange feeling. I couldn't see anyone, and I thought it was strange that there was no one, but I had this feeling, right? And so I'm sitting in the cart right by the Christmas trees. Well, I was looking forward when I noticed a small black shadow come walking out of the aisle where the trees were. The shadows were very dark, or the shadow was. Now, I couldn't see any features on it, and it turned toward me. I could tell it was facing me, and that's when I got scared because it looked like it had a little pointy hat. And then after a few seconds, it just turned around and strolled back. Now, I don't know what this thing was, but it hit me so hard I started crying. I now think, looking back, that it was some sort of elf.
Yeah.
Now, I know it sounds weird, but this happened. And after a few years, the store closed, and I was always wondering about what I've seen. Now, I've been waiting to see if it appears again, but I've never seen it since. I've been searching for some online information on what was out there, but nothing have I found that looks or talks like any of this that I saw. I have no idea what this is, but I hope you enjoy it. Thanks.
I do enjoy it. I love sightings of elves, gnomes, dwendies. I think they're cool, man. Any little kind of fae story.
A little shadow being, but it was an elf-like shadow being.
Yeah, that is very...
I don't know why that doesn't happen more often. Like we've talked about, it might. We just don't know it.
Right.
Right. Correct. Because they're so small. If they were small, shadowy creatures, it would be super simple. Super simple to hide.
Right. Check this out. This is a grandmother's warning. Now, check this out. It says, according to my grandmother, the old people in the Kampung days... Now, if you're not familiar, Kampung is Malaysian or Indonesian, like a countryside village, like a small town on the outskirts of a major city. She said that back then, the old folks back in the day believed that pregnant women, especially those pregnant with their very first child, give out a scent that will attract evil spirits.
Hold up.
Yeah.
For real?
For real, for real.
Hmm.
It says these women are not allowed to leave their homes after dusk, but if they have to, they would have to bring with them a small pouch containing several sharp and metal objects and some herbs that will ward off these evil spirits. Now, this is what her grandmother's telling her, right? This is her granddaughter. She's pregnant. She's trying to warn her about back in the old country.
Yeah.
This happened.
Yeah.
Well, I always thought it was a fairy tale, but 2 years ago when I was pregnant with my first child, my grandmother made me a small pouch for me to carry around. I didn't want to offend her, as I don't believe in all these tales, but I took it from her anyways, and later I stashed it away in my cupboard, an act which I later regretted.
Uh-oh.
On a fateful day, I had to stay late at work. My husband fetched me at around 8 o'clock. I was already in the 7th month of my pregnancy, so I was very tired. After he parked the car, we started our way to our apartment. That's when I smelled a very strong, fragrant odor.
Oh.
There was no one else there except the two of us. I asked my husband, "Do you smell that perfume?" He asked me to stay quiet and to quicken our pace. The smell got stronger and stronger until I felt as though I could not breathe. I was suddenly gasping for breath, and my husband, realizing my condition, stopped in his tracks and muttered some Quranic verses under his breath, and I immediately felt better. Upon reaching home, I rested for a while and later bathed and performed some prayers. I was still a bit weak after that incident, so I immediately went to bed. At 2 a.m., my husband and I were awakened by a scratching sound on our windows, then the sound of stones or something like that being hurled at our window on the 20th floor. I was trembling with fear, and I suddenly felt a sharp pain in my tummy. My husband remained calm and asked me to rest on the bed, performed some ablution, and sat next to me reading the Quran aloud. Then there was a loud, shrieking laughter outside of the window. The scratching was heard again, this time more ferocious. My husband read even louder, and he started reciting some verses that were forwarding these evil spirits. The pain in my tummy got worse. The shrieking grew louder, but my husband kept repeating the verses over and over again until the shrieking was gone. The pain in my tummy soon vanished. The horrific incident left me trembling, and I was ill for the next few days. Now, that was an experience I will never forget. I told my grandmother about it, and she was angry with me because I did not heed her advice. She said the thing outside my window was the Pontianak, either trying to lure me out or trying to get in herself. I was so relieved that my baby is all right, and I have learned my lesson the hard way. Thank you, Citra.
Whoa.
So some of these folklore that old people tell you about stuff, the old country, don't always just cast it aside. Like, maybe they know more than you think. Her granddaughter just dismissed it. Like, yeah, whatever. Her grandmother even made her the pouch. She was like, here, carry this with you while you're pregnant. Keep evil spirits away. And she's like, yeah, sure. Man. And she had this horrific...
I'm going to tell y'all right now, while you're telling the story, I'm laughing in the back of my head until it talked till the end, is I'm like, this sounds like a good way for married men whose wives are pregnant to make them stay home and they don't get to go out and the guys can go out on their own and do whatever, right? Like, oh, sorry, you can't leave.
Right.
And it's only happens because it's the first child, because when you have two, now you have to stay home. You got two, right?
Good point.
So with the first one, it's like, oh, sorry.
Well, maybe that's the origin story. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe not, though. With this thing coming in after Citra, like, maybe
Yeah.
Well, maybe I was in the wrong, right? Like, this just tells me that's just the way I look at stuff.
Well, you know, whenever we were hunting abroad and stuff, you go into some of the shops and stuff, and you'll see little medicine pouches, mm-hmm. dream catchers and stuff. You know, people, for whatever reason, whether it just makes placebo makes you feel better, or maybe it really is warding off evil spirits. I mean, there's things like rabbit's feet. What's the little bells that the soldiers mm-hmm. in World War I would wear?
I have a medicine pouch.
Yeah, see?
I have one with, like, I forgot what all.
So that means a portion of you believes in it.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, why would you waste the time?
Exactly.
Right?
I mean, well, and see, that's the whole thing, too, is like when I look at paganism and Wiccans and all that stuff, like, you see, like, there's enough branches to the tree that everybody's got a place.
Yeah.
Right? Where you're like, ooh.
But all the different practices, all it's very similar. All the practices are the same, right? Regardless of what religion.
It's just you get in where you fit in and everything else falls in place. There's always good and bad in every practice.
Right. Very, very cool. What do you got planned for the rest of your week?
Man, oh, man. I'm going to hang out with my granddaughter, son. We've got some big times planned with that. I'm going to do some bowling with my son. We're going to kind of have some fun for his birthday because, of course, they were busy, you know, for the parade and all that we talked about. So he wants to do some bowling for his. We've still not celebrated mine, so it'll be a little bowling for mine. And then I think my daughter comes home sometime soon. Who the heck knows? And other than that, I'll be in the trees.
I got you.
What about you? You going to go shoot anything with me, or are you going to be busy?
I don't know. It depends. I'm going to get away anytime I can. I've been a couple times and haven't had much luck. It's been raining or nasty and nothing really shows up, but the same old.
Oh, yeah.
Same old.
Don't forget, too, we get to do a playthrough with our buddy Ben's new system. We're going to be playing another, it's like a D&D style game or a tabletop style game that's going to be available on Kickstarter, I think, next year.
That sounds
cool. So we get to do a little play testing, a little beta testing starting this week. So I think maybe Friday or Saturday, we're going to play it.
Right.
We'll see.
Sounds like fun. Before we get out of here, let's not forget about our sponsors. Let's talk about Lumi Labs and Microdose Gummies. Microdose is available nationwide. Just use the promo code EXPANDED to get free shipping and 30% off your first order. And for the best blue light glasses on the market, you got to use our special code. That's felixgrayglasses.com/expanded. You can get non-prescription, prescription, or readers. You can get blue light or sunlight glasses. That's felixgrayglasses.com/expanded.
And don't forget about HelloFresh. HelloFresh, y'all. America's number one meal kit. Just go to HelloFresh.com/expanded18, the number 18. Use that code EXPANDED18 for 18 free meals and free shipping.
That's right. And if you want to share stories with me and Cam and the listeners, don't hesitate. You can email us at expandedperspectives@yahoo.com, or you can call into the show and tell us the story. That's 888-393-2783. That's 888-393-BRUD. That's about all the time we have for this episode. Till next time, folks, stay safe. I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.